Welcome to the Voice of America in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
各位听众您好，欢迎您收听美国之音在2018年6月11号在美国东岸时间早上五点，也就是北京时间下午五点，我们从美国首都华盛顿现场开始的中文广播。首先播报国际新闻。美国总统川普抵达新加坡，即将同朝鲜领导人金正恩举行峰会。这位美国领导人说，他对这次会晤感觉很好。星期天，川普走下空军一号专机，前来迎接的是新加坡外长维文。有记者对他大声问道，这次峰会将会成功吗？你感觉如何？川普回答，很好。在星期天抵达新加坡之前，川普也承认星期二的峰会对他来说是将进入未知的领域。在前往亚洲前，川普在加拿大七国集团峰会期间回答美国之音提问时表示，对于一位在任总统，美国总统同金氏王朝成员进行前所未有的会面，他说，我的确充满信心。朝鲜金氏王朝对这个世界最孤立国家之一实施铁腕统治长达三代人。川普说，他相信金正恩想为他的人民做些大事。金正恩的年纪只有川普的一半，但是川普告诫说，如果会谈进展不顺利，金正恩不会再有机会。川普指出，这次同美国进行的外交机会是一次性的机会。川普和其他政府官员曾经表示，在获得金正恩承诺放弃所有核武器和远程弹道导弹的努力中取得进展，进展可能会走向和平协议，正式结束持续长达将近70年的朝鲜半岛战争状态。美国和朝鲜官员星期一在新加坡继续会谈，试图在两国领导人一天后举行历史性会晤之前，为缩减双方分歧做最后的努力。川普的朝鲜问题特别代表金城率领美国一个谈判小组星期一早上抵达新加坡的丽思卡尔顿酒店。大约同一时候，朝鲜副外长崔善基一行也抵达同一会场，双方都没有回答新闻记者的提问。同样在新加坡的美国国务卿蓬佩奥早些时候在推特上登出了他与金城共进早餐和磋商的照片，并称美国致力于朝鲜半岛完全可核实与不可逆转的去核化。朝鲜官方通讯社星期一在首次报道朝美峰会的时候称，这次峰会将是时代变迁的一部分。在新加坡的一位美国官员说，由于平壤当局长期以来研制核武器的历史，美方对这次峰会既保持乐观又持怀疑的心态。川普总统本人星期一发推说，来新加坡感觉很棒，这里有一股令人兴奋的气氛。不过观察人士普遍认为，美国和朝鲜在去核化的定义以及如何实施去核化的问题上依然存在分歧。很多人怀疑金正恩会真正放弃他非常在乎的核武器。韩国民众乐观地认为，美国总统川普和朝鲜领导人金正恩星期二在新加坡会晤时将增进地区持久和平的前景，哪怕双方不能明确达成一项去核化协议。在川金峰会前，一些团体在韩国首都首尔举行集会，敦促美朝领导人结束双方的核对峙并签署和平条约。保守派团体也举行了示威，敦促美国不要跟曾经打破去核化承诺的金氏政权妥协。七个工业化国家 G7 星期天在加拿大魁北克发表的夏洛瓦公报针对东中国海、南中国海问题发表了坚定立场，但是这个共同立场因为美国与 G7 峰会、东道主加拿大以及欧盟在贸易问题上的激烈争执而没有受到广泛的关注。香港一名主张脱离中国大陆统治的本土派人士被香港高等法院以暴动罪和袭警罪判处6年监禁。梁天琦据说这是多年来香港民主活动人士遭遇到最严厉的刑事处罚。美国之音国际新闻。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程。课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，第一课重点讲打电话约时间见面应当使用什么语言。首先请听电话采访。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Charles Blake. Mr. Blake is traveling on business and has agreed to talk with us by phone. Welcome, Mr. Blake.
Hello.
The last time you were here, we talked about your trip to San Francisco.
That's right. I went to San Francisco to meet with Michael Epstein of Advanced Technologies.
What did you do after you checked into your hotel?
I called Mr. Epstein from my hotel room. I wanted to meet with him as soon as possible.
Well, today, we're going to listen to your conversation with Mr. Epstein.
Okay.
Advanced Technologies, may I help you?
Yes, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics. I'd like to speak with Mike Epstein, please.
Just a minute, and I'll put you through.
Epstein.
Mr. Epstein, I have a Mr. Blake from International Robotics on the line.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Blake.
Hello, Mr. Epstein. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Great.
How was your trip?
I had a nice flight, and it was on time.
When did you get into San Francisco?
I just arrived a few moments ago.
Say, when shall we get together?
Well, I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime.
I'll tell you what. I'm free after 11 o'clock. How's that sound?
That sounds fine with me.
下面我们来听一些词句的变换说法。
May I help you?
How can I help you?
This is Charles Blake from International Robotics.
This is Charles Blake of International Robotics.
I'd like to speak with Mike Epstein, please.
Could I please speak to Mike Epstein?
Just a minute and I'll put you through.
One moment, I'll connect you.
I have a Mr. Blake from International Robotics on the line.
Mr. Blake of International Robotics would like to speak with you.
Elizabeth 采访 Blake 先生。
Mr. Blake, let's talk about your conversation with Mr. Epstein. Do you think the conversation went well?
Yes, I do. I wanted to meet with him as soon as possible, and we were able to set up a meeting for the next day, Tuesday.I was looking forward to talking with him.
I see. Thank you very much for being on our show.
It's been my pleasure.
文化点滴。这一节我们要回答的问题是，在打电话给一个大公司的时候，应该怎样和接电话的人沟通？
Hello again. We're here with Gary Angleton, our business language expert.Let's look at our email questions, Gary.
All right.
We have an interesting question today about using telephones in business. A listener writes, When I make a telephone call to a big company, what should I say to the person who answers the phone?
That is a very good question. At big companies, the people who answer the telephones are called receptionists. You have to tell the receptionist who you are and who you want to speak with.You may also have to give some information about the purpose of the call.
Could you explain that again?
Sure. Here are the three things you should do. First, be sure to identify yourself and the name of your company. Use the expression, this is. For example, when I call, I say, this is Gary Angleton from Culture Tips. Next, tell the receptionist who you want to speak to. The best way to say it is, I would like to speak to...and then the person's name.
That's not so difficult.
Then you can give some information about the purpose of your call. This is especially important if the person may not remember who you are. For example, you could say, I met him in Hong Kong last year, and he suggested I call when I came to town.
Yes, that makes sense.
One more tip. If the person called you first, be sure to say, I'm returning his call. That tells the receptionist that the person wants to talk to you.
What happens next?
After you give your information, the receptionist will put you on hold. That means that you have to wait while the receptionist tries to find the person. The receptionist will usually say, please hold, or one moment, please. While you are on hold, you may hear some music or just a period of silence. Don't hang up.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Weber Industries, may I help you?
Yes, this is Roberta Milton.
This is Sam Bliss speaking. How are you, Miss Milton?
Fine, and you?
Just fine, thank you.
I'm calling to see if we can arrange a meeting. There are several matters I'd like to discuss with you.
Okay. When would be convenient?
Could we meet tomorrow?
Yes, that's possible. What time would be convenient?
How about 2:30?
Fine. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Me too. Okay, in your office at 2:30 tomorrow, right?
Right. See you then.
See you tomorrow.
Gary 提示 ，Gary 今天要讲用什么样的语言表达方式提出建议。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to make suggestions. In the business dialogue, Mr. Bliss asks Ms. Milton to suggest a day for their meeting. He asks her, when would be convenient? Listen to the conversation. Notice how Ms. Milton uses the expression, could we meet, to suggest a day for the meeting.
I'm calling to see if we can arrange a meeting. There are several matters I'd like to discuss with you.
Okay. When would be convenient?
Could we meet tomorrow?
Yes, that's possible.
Saying could we is one way to make a suggestion. Another good way to make a suggestion is to say how about. Let's listen.
What time would be convenient?
How about 2:30?
Fine.
You can also make a suggestion by mentioning a time and then asking, how does that sound? Listen to the conversation between Mr. Epstein and Mr. Blake. Listen for the expression, how does that sound? Or, how's that sound?
I'll tell you what. I'm free after 11 o'clock. How's that sound?
That sounds fine with me.
Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
本星期的第二课，我们重点讲解了在提建议时应当使用的客气语言。首先请听电话采访。这一课的嘉宾是先锋技术公司的 Michael Epstein 先生。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Michael Epstein. Mr. Epstein is speaking to us from his office in California. Hello, Mr. Epstein. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Today, we are going to listen to your phone conversation with Mr. Blake. He called you just after he arrived in San Francisco.
Yes, I remember.
Were you expecting Mr. Blake's call?
Yes, I was. I knew that he was arriving in San Francisco on Monday, June 10th. So I kept my schedule free for the following afternoon, Tuesday afternoon.
Let's listen to the conversation.
Advanced Technologies, may I help you?
Yes, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics.I'd like to speak with Mike Epstein, please.
Just a minute, and I'll put you through.
Epstein.
Mr. Epstein, I have a Mr. Blake from International Robotics on the line.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Blake.
Hello, Mr. Epstein. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Great.
How was your trip?
I had a nice flight, and it was on time.
When did you get into San Francisco?
I just arrived a few moments ago.
Say, when shall we get together?
Well, I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime.
I'll tell you what. I'm free after 11 o'clock. How's that sound?
That sounds fine with me.
Okay. Where are you staying?
I'm staying at the Embassy Suites. It's about 20 minutes south of the airport.
Ah, that's real close to my office here. I'll tell you what. I'll meet you tomorrow around 11:15. Then we can go to lunch, and then I'll show you around San Francisco.
That sounds very nice.
词句代换。
How are you?
How have you been?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Just fine, thanks. And you?
When did you get into San Francisco?
When did you arrive in San Francisco?
I just arrived a few moments ago.
I got here a few minutes ago.
我们继续采访Epstein 先生。
Mr. Epstein, let's talk about your conversation with Mr. Blake. You suggested that the two of you meet for lunch.
Yes, I thought it would be a good idea for us to get together in an informal setting. I wanted to fill him in on some of the details of our project to build a new factory. I didn't want to schedule a formal meeting until he had a chance to rest.
That was very considerate. How about the agenda? Did you go over the agenda?
Yes, of course. I confirmed with him the items he wanted to discuss at the meeting and how much time he needed.
Right.
Then we went for a nice drive around San Francisco. I dropped him off at his hotel and then returned to my office.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Let's take a short break.
文化点滴。这一节我们要讨论的是商务活动中的相互寒暄问候。
Hello again. We're here with Gary Engleton, our business language expert. Let's look at our email questions, Gary.
All right.
Well, today we have a very important email question about business culture.
What is it?
The question is, in a business telephone call, should you immediately begin talking about business?
That is a good question.Actually, in business phone calls, we rarely go directly to the main topic.
Really?
Before talking about business, we usually talk about a friendly topic. Talking about friendly topics is called small talk.
Can you give us an example?
Yes. When Mr. Epstein talks with Mr. Blake, he first asks Mr. Blake about his flight.
Oh, I see.
It gives the conversation a friendly start.
What are some good topics for small talk?
Common small talk topics are weather, hobbies, and travel. These topics are usually very comfortable, but you should avoid talking about very personal topics.
I see.
Small talk helps people in business build better personal relationships. For example, if someone comes to town by airplane, you can ask, "How was your flight?" If they say their flight was terrible, you can say, "That's too bad," or "I'm sorry to hear that."And if their flight was good, you can say, "I'm glad to hear it." This shows that you're interested in personal feelings and not just business.
That's very interesting, Gary. Thank you again for your culture tips.
商务对话。一位年轻的商界人士打电话给另一家公司，约见该公司的生产部经理。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Bob Harmon.
Hello, Mr. Harmon. This is Henry Michaels of Stetson Industries.
Oh, hello, Henry. What can I do for you?
I was wondering if we could get together sometime this week. I'd like to discuss our delivery schedule.
Well, let's see. I'm busy the first part of the week, but I'm free on Thursday afternoon. How does that sound?
That's good for me. What time?
How about 3 o'clock at my office?
That's great.
Gary 提示 ，Gary 要给我们讲一些同对方约时间和地点见面的各种客气的说法。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today we'll look at some more ways to suggest the time and place for a meeting. First, let's review some expressions we discussed on our last show. One way to make a suggestion is to say, "How does that sound?" Let's listen.
Well, let's see. I'm busy the first part of the week, but I'm free on Thursday afternoon. How does that sound?
You can also use the expression, "How about?" Let's listen.
What time?
How about 3 o'clock, at my office?
A more formal and more polite way to make a suggestion is to use the expression, "I was wondering if." Listen to the following example from the business dialogue.
I was wondering if we could get together sometime this week.
This is a difficult sentence, but it is a very polite way to make a suggestion. In Mr. Blake's conversation with Mr. Epstein, he uses a similar expression. I was hoping that. Let's listen.
Say, when shall we get together?
Well, I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime.
Let's hear that again, more slowly. I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime. This is a very polite suggestion. We'll talk more about polite suggestions on our next show.
Charles Blake.
On today's program, I'll be talking again with Charles Blake of International Robotics. Mr. Blake is traveling on business and has agreed to talk with us by phone. Welcome, Mr. Blake.
Hello.
The last time you were here, we talked about your phone conversation with Mr. Epstein. You arranged to meet him on Tuesday, June 11th.
Yes, that's right.
Let's listen again to that part of the conversation.
Okay.
Say, when shall we get together?
Well, I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime.
I'll tell you what. I'm free after 11 o'clock. How's that sound?
That sounds fine with me.
Okay. Where are you staying?
I'm staying at the Embassy Suites. It's about 20 minutes south of the airport.
That's real close to my office here. I'll tell you what. I'll meet you tomorrow around 11:15. Then we can go to lunch, and then I'll show you around San Francisco.
That sounds very nice.
When shall we get together?
When shall we meet?
I'm free after 11 o'clock.
I'm not busy after 11.
How's that sound?
Is that good for you?
That sounds fine with me.
That sounds good.
接下来请听 Elizabeth 继续采访 Blake 先生。
Did Mr. Epstein meet you as planned?
Yes, he did. We had a very nice lunch in San Francisco. Then we went for a drive.
Did you discuss business?
Yes, we did. A little. Mr. Epstein wanted to explain some of the details of the project, about their plans to build a new factory. And he wanted to learn more about our industrial robots.As you know, we wanted to sell our robots to Advanced Technologies for use in their new factory.
Did you discuss other topics?
Well, yes. He told me that the new factory was scheduled for completion in October. So this October deadline was very important. He was also concerned about after-sales service.
Do you mean maintenance, repair, and so on?
That's right. They were concerned because our company is not based in the U.S.They wanted to be sure that we could provide good service in the United States.
I see. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
文化点滴。
Hello again. We're here with Gary Angleton, our business language expert. Let's look at our email questions, Gary.
Okay.
We have a question today about making appointments. The question is, how should I suggest a meeting time?
Well, it depends on your relationship with the person you want to meet.
I'm not sure that I understand.
Well, if it's someone you know quite well, you can be very direct. For example, let's say you want to suggest a meeting time to a coworker, someone you've known for a long time. You can just say, "Let's meet tomorrow for lunch," or "How about tomorrow for lunch?" But even with friends, you shouldn't be too direct. Don't say, "I want to meet with you at 3 o'clock tomorrow."
Oh, I see.
But with someone you don't know well, or someone very important, it's better to be more general, more indirect. For example, you can say, "I was hoping that we could meet sometime in the next few days," or "Would it be possible for us to meet sometime tomorrow?" Very polite suggestions are often very long.
Isn't that rather vague? Very general?
Sometimes it's good to be vague. Vague means no definite time. That gives the other person a lot of freedom to suggest a good time.
What if the other person asks you what time you should meet?
Well, you can suggest a time. Or if you want to be very considerate, you can say, "What time is good for you?"
Very interesting and useful. Thanks again, Gary.
Business 对话. 今天的对话里，两位同事商量一个碰头的时间和地点。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Hi, John. I was wondering if we could get together sometime this afternoon. I'd like to go over our sales forecasts.
Sure, Bob. That's fine. When is good for you?
How about 3 o'clock?
That sounds good. Where shall we meet?
I can come to your office.Or the conference room might be more comfortable.
Okay, let's meet in the conference room.
Great. See you then.
Gary 提示 ，Gary 要给我们再讲讲，在回答对方建议时可以使用的各种语句。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth.Today we'll look at some ways to respond to suggestions. There are many ways to show agreement in English. Words like okay, sure, fine, and so on. Let's listen to the first part of the business dialogue. Bob suggests that he and John meet that afternoon.
Hi, John. I was wondering if we could get together sometime this afternoon. I'd like to go over our sales forecasts.
Sure, Bob. That's fine.
John says, "Sure, that's fine," to accept Bob's suggestion. Then he politely asks John to suggest a meeting time. Let's listen.
When is good for you?
How about 3 o'clock?
That sounds good.
That sounds good is a good way to accept a meeting time. John asks Bob to suggest a place for the meeting.Let's listen.
Where shall we meet?
I can come to your office, or the conference room might be more comfortable.
Okay, let's meet in the conference room.
Bob suggests two places for the meeting, John's office or the conference room. John chooses the conference room by saying directly, "Okay, let's meet in the conference room."Now, let's listen to a conversation which does not go so smoothly.
Hi, John. I was wondering if we could get together sometime this afternoon.
I'm sorry, but I'm busy all afternoon. Can we make it some other time?
The expression, "I'm sorry, but," is a polite way to refuse a suggestion. That's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips.
Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听。我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
美国之音国际新闻。美国总统川普抵达新加坡，即将同朝鲜领导人金正恩举行峰会。这位美国领导人说，他对这次会晤感觉很好。星期天，川普走下空军一号专机，前来迎接的是新加坡外长维文。有记者对他大声问道，这次峰会将会成功吗？你感觉如何？川普回答，很好。在星期天抵达新加坡之前，川普也承认，星期二的峰会对他来说是将进入未知的领域。前往亚洲前，川普在加拿大七国集团峰会期间回答美国之音提问时表示，对于一位在任美国总统同金氏王朝成员进行前所未有的会面，他说，我的确充满信心。朝鲜金氏王朝对这个世界最孤立国家之一实施铁腕统治长达三代人。川普说，他相信金正恩想为他的人民做些大事。金正恩的年纪只有川普的一半，但是川普告诫说，如果会谈进展不顺利，金正恩不会再有机会。川普指出，这次同美国进行的外交机会是一次性的机会。川普和其他政府官员曾经表示，在获得金正恩承诺放弃所有核武器和远程弹道导弹的努力中取得进展。进展可能会走向和平协议，正式结束持续长达近70年的朝鲜半岛战争状态。美国和朝鲜官员星期一在新加坡继续会谈，试图在两国领导人一天后举行历史性会晤之前，为缩短双方分歧做最后的努力。川普的朝鲜问题特别代表金城率领美国一个谈判小组，星期一早上抵达新加坡的丽思卡尔顿饭店。大约同一时候，朝鲜副外长崔善基一行也抵达同一会场，双方都没有回答新闻记者们的提问。同样在新加坡的美国国务卿蓬佩奥早些时候在推特上登出了他与金城共进早餐和磋商的照片，并称美国致力于朝鲜半岛完全可核实与不可逆转的去核化。朝鲜官方通讯社星期一在首次报道朝美峰会的时候称，这次峰会将是时代变迁的一部分。不过观察人士普遍认为，美国和朝鲜在去核化的定义以及如何实施去核化的问题上依然存在分歧。很多人怀疑金正恩会真正放弃他非常在乎的核武器。韩国民众乐观地认为，美国总统川普和朝鲜领导人金正恩星期二在新加坡会晤时将增进地区持久和平的前景，哪怕双方不能明确达成一项去核化协议。在川金峰会前，一些团体在韩国首都首尔举行集会，敦促美朝领导人结束双方的核对峙并签署和平条约。保守派团体也举行了示威，敦促美国不要跟曾经打破去核化承诺的金氏政权妥协。不过民调显示，民众强烈支持渐进派总统文在寅采取外交努力，说服金正恩答应参与去核化谈判。盖洛普最近一次民调显示，文在寅的支持率高达 75%。另外，美国总统川普在韩国受赞许的比例也上升了8%。七个工业化国家 G7 星期天在加拿大魁北克发表的夏洛瓦公报，针对东中国海、南中国海问题发表了坚定立场。但是这个共同立场因为美国与 G7 峰会东道主加拿大以及与欧盟在贸易问题上的激烈争执而没有受到广泛的关注。夏洛瓦公报第19条说，我们依然对东中国海和南中国海的局势感到忧虑，重申强烈反对可能加剧紧张局势和损害地区稳定与基于规则的国际秩序的任何单边行动。我们敦促各方对争议岛礁采取非军事化努力。香港一名主张脱离中国大陆统治的本土派人士被香港高等法院以暴动罪和袭击警察罪判处6年监禁。据信，这是多年来香港民主活动人士遭遇的最严厉的刑事处罚。本土民主前线前发言人27岁的梁天琦，因为跟2016年2月在旺角发生的警民大冲突有关，早前被法院判定触动了暴动罪。美国之音国际新闻。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目，因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
听众观众朋友们好，欢迎收听收看 VOA 卫视6月6号星期三的时事大家谈，我是许波，我们在美国之音华盛顿演播室为您现场报道。第三轮美中贸易谈判无果而终，据《华尔街日报》透露的最新消息，中国承诺购买美国价值700亿美元的农产品和能源产品，但前提是美国不对中国进口产品征收关税。川普总统在启动最新一轮美中贸易谈判之前，再次挥舞关税大棒，目标直指中国进口的与中国制造2025相关的高科技产品，以及背后相关的举国体制及国家补贴等产业政策。正如美国财政部长努姆钦最近指出，美中目前的贸易纠纷不仅关系到中国购买更多的美国商品，更关系到美国企业能否公平竞争。欧洲舆论认为，美中贸易纠纷的症结在于举国体制的中国模式对美国高科技领先地位的挑战，不解决贸易公平的这个结构问题，美中贸易就不会实现平衡。但是中国的贸易行为涉及国家产业政策，举国体制是中国弯道超车的关键保证，北京会轻易改变吗？我们今天时事大家谈就邀请专家与听众观众及网友朋友们一同来探讨这些问题。在维吉尼亚州通过视频连线参加节目的是维吉尼亚大学商学院教授陈昭辉。陈教授您好。
主持人好，大家好。
在北京通过电话连线加入访谈的是经济学者胡星斗教授。胡教授好。
主持人好，观众朋友们好。
我们欢迎两位嘉宾，同时我们欢迎听众观众朋友们拨打美国之音免费热线电话参加我们节目讨论，号码是400120-0551 400120-0551。另外呢，您还可以通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 上的网上直播收看并加入我们的现场讨论，网址是 youtube.com/VOA China。这个我们看到川普总统他重新举起这个关税大棒，中国媒体是一片出尔反尔的反对之声。那么我首先请问维吉尼亚州的陈昭辉教授，美国为什么反悔先前达成的这个暂停贸易战的这样一共识，坚持对中国产品加征关税呢？
我认为呢，这是一种战略上的转移。前一段时间呢，就是重点的主要是通过中国政府呢购买美国产品呢，减少贸易逆差。现在呢，这已经不是重点。现在的重点是什么呢？你要从根本上解决贸易问题呢，是不能依靠政府，而是要依靠市场，是依靠美国公司在中国的公平竞争。所以说，现在美国政府新的要求呢，是要保护美国公司在中国的合法权益。就包括保护知识产权 ，OK， 这是第一点。第二点呢，我就稍微咬文嚼字一下，从美国角度来看呢，这不是个太严重的出尔反尔。为什么呢？因为就是美国贸易谈判代表莱特希泽在中美联合声明发表以后，很短的时间内呢，他就发表了一个声明。他这个声明怎么说呢？大意就是强调了这个中美这个贸易争端呢还更没有解决，而且是对中国关税的会随时可能发生。所以说如果大家对那个莱特希泽这个声明就是留心的话呢，对美国政府的最近的行为呢不应该会觉得是很太大的意外。主持人
好的，那么我来请教北京的胡星斗教授，您怎么看川普打打停停停停打打的这种谈判策略，这是川普缺乏诚信呢，还是他另有所图呢？胡教授。
川普打打停停，他既是一个谈判策略，又有战略考虑。他就是要遏制中国的高技术的崛起，打击中国制造2025计划。他所加税的项目基本上都是与中国制造2025相关联的，都是高科技项目。 他认为中国长期对企业补贴，使得美国的企业无法与中国企业开展公平的竞争。所以就像陆母亲所说的，要解决公平竞争的问题。川普也并非简单的缺乏诚信啊，就像刚才陈教授所说的，实际上这种联合声明，在美国它是没有什么法律约束力的，
嗯，
啊，这个也没有，对政府甚至也没有什么约束力的。川普呢，他是另有所图，他是剑指中国制造2025。
好的，那么我们来继续接着刚才这个问题来讨论。美国财政部长姆努钦呢，他周末在七国集团财长会议上呢，他道出了美国的想法。他说，目前的美中贸易纠纷呢，关系到中国更多购买美国产品的问题，但是更重要的是美国企业能否实现公平竞争的结构问题。那么我得请问陈教授，这什么意思？
贸易问题呢，不能靠政府解决，不能靠中国美国政府解决，而是要靠市场解决，这是美国的一个共识。为什么呢？因为政府解决贸易问题，甚至解决绝大部分的经济问题呢，都是很低效的，效率是很低的。 OK， 为什么呢？因为政府的目标呢，不是为了赚钱，不像市场，在市场上面大家是为了赚钱，政府的行为呢，是不是为了赚钱的，所以它效率很低。我举个例子吧，就像大家谈到的，就是中国和美国呢，现在已经决定呢，要从美国进口天然气 ，OK， 但是呢，现在没有这些这个基础建设呢，就是把这些设备呢，能够把这个气送到中国，所以现在大家想呢，就要投资一大笔钱啊，几十亿、上百亿啊，然后建一条从美国到中国的输油管 ，OK， 那么问题就来了。中国在过去这十几年、二十年里面，花了大笔的投资，建了一条从俄罗斯到中国的输气管。那么现在这个问题就说，哎，那你怎么办？你就把这个中俄输气管就把它关了，是不是？你好好的已经有条输气管了，你还要再建一条从美国到中国的输气管干什么 ？OK， 所以说在市场上面呢，这种行为呢是不会发生的，但是呢。政府行为是可以发生的，为什么呢？你要解决这个贸易问题。所以说的话呢，从长期根本上呢，要解决这个贸易问题呢，不能靠政府，它是很低效的，而只能靠什么呢？只能靠美国公司自身的竞争力，在中国的竞争力。但是要达到这个要求呢，就是一定要从法律上呢保障美国公司了在中国的合法的竞争的权利。主持人，
好的，那么我来继续请教胡教授啊，您怎么理解美国财政部长姆努钦的这个刚才我们引述的那段话？美国朝野各界都普遍认为，仅仅迫使中国多买美国农产品和能源产品，而不解决美中贸易失衡的一个结构性问题，美国就是失败。那胡教授，您同意这种说法吗？
我同意要解决美中贸易失衡的结构性问题，但是是怎样的一个结构性问题？我有不同的看法。美国出口芯片、飞机、农产品、能源产品、高科技产品，而中国出口是初级产品、劳动密集型产品，当然也有一些机电产品，也有少数高科技产品，但是高科技产品出口70%以上都是合资企业、外资企业在中国出口的，也就是说美国它出口是高端产品为主，中国出口是低端产品为主。而美国高端产品它的利润十分丰厚，利润率一般在20%左右，而中国的低端产品利润率很低，一般在2%到5%左右，而且中国是以环境污染、资源破坏、劳工权益，特别是农民工的权益受到损失为代价的。我认为这才是一个结构性问题。如果说要解决结构性问题， 恐怕要解决中国产品过于低端、利润率过于低端，以及这个中国在资源环境以及农民工权益方面受到的损失，这个问题啊要解决，而不是一味的去出口。
好的，那么我们看到呢，这个美国财政部长姆努钦他这里指的结构问题呢，我们据许多专家分析呢，他们认为可能更主要的是指中国的这个举国体制和产业政策，包括什么呢？包括像这个国家补贴等等。那么我们来具体谈看一看这个举国体制和它的产业政策这个问题。陈教授，为什么越来越多的美国政界、产业界甚至学术界都把这种体制和政策视为最大的威胁？那么您认为来自中国的这种举国体制，所谓中国模式，这种危机究竟对美国有多大的威胁呢？陈教授。
好，这个问题呢稍微有点复杂，所以说呢我就通过一个例子来跟大家讲清楚。这个问题的根本是什么呢？是个恶性的，就是竞争的问题，在市场上竞争的问题。为什么呢？我就举个例子吧，大家举个例子呢，就是光伏产业，就是太阳能电池板。这个产业呢，就是在刚刚诞生的时候呢，主要是在美国啊，就是主要是分布在硅谷。美国硅谷呢，大概有30几个公司呢，在大家在研发就新一代的太阳能电池板。然后呢，在胡锦涛主席在任的时候呢，就说是我们要进行产业升级，我们要扶持中国的光伏产业。所以说的话，假如说这个时候呢，就是假如说我举个例子啊，假如说我是一个中国光伏国企的一个老总，我就可以通过以下的战略呢，能够占领市场呢，击败我的所有的对手。怎么办呢？我第一步呢，我先通过低价啊，就是买一个淘汰的光伏产品，就是说是我不用现最新的一代的那个产品，我买一个就是说上一代的产品 ，OK， 然后马上就生产大规模的生产，然后呢，我在市场上呢，我就有很低的价钱 ，OK， 很低价钱的卖 ，OK， 我承认我的这个产品呢比不过美国的产品，但是我便宜啊，美国产品卖500块钱。我只要卖100块钱就可以了 ，OK。在这种情况下的话，我性价比就可以是很高很高 ，OK。我是亏钱的，但没问题，政府能够给我补贴，我不怕啊。所以说，在这种情况下呢，我可以就是通过3-5年短短的时间呢，我把我的所有的竞争者呢，就基本上全部干死 ，OK。所以说到今天，你要看美国的光伏产业呢，可能只有2个公司现在还存在 ，OK。但这个问题还没解决，还没完。接下来怎么办呢？我把这些公司全部干死以后怎么办呢？我就可以在市场上低价的呢，把他们的知识产权、他的技术去买下来。为什么呢？因为他们的手里面，他这公司都破产了，他手里面的这些知识产权呢，不值什么钱的，别人没人敢买。因为你要买了生产的话，那没有，对不起，我继续把你干死掉。所以说的话呢，我就可以通过廉价呢，就拿到了这些技术。拿到这些技术以后，我已经控制了这个市场了。我怎么把我的成本收回来呢？我就把价钱提高了。因为这些竞争对手已经不存在了，所以说呢，我就把这个钱又赚回来。所以从这个例子可以看得出来呢，这是一个恶意竞争。就是我可以通过那个政府，我可以滥用政府的补贴呢，能够在那市场上取得不恰当的竞争地位。这个问题呢是个很严重的问题。
好的，
在任何国家呢，这都是一个非法的问题。所以说呢，这个。解决这个问题的根本呢，就是什么呢？就是说是你要大家要遵守公平的游戏规则。所有人都要，包括政府，包括公司，所有人都要遵守。这就是市场经济的最基本的原则。
好的，
就是遵守公平的游戏规则。
可是，刚才这个陈教授说了，举那个例子非常生动，就是说呢，这个举国一致，甚至国家补贴来呢，这个。再用全国的力量来支援一个这个企业，然后这个企业在美国一家公司是无可匹敌的。那么我来请教胡教授，举国一致创业求发展，或者说不惜代价鼓励出口创汇，这是中国几十年的国策，并且已经取得了长足的进展。那怎么现在在美国和欧盟等国家国际社会就行不通了呢？您怎么看这个问题，胡教授？
对，是这个举国体制，当然有它的优点，也有它的缺点。 不惜代价鼓励出口创汇，这个是有很大的问题。中国人十分勤劳，不分白天黑天黑夜，忍受恶劣的工作条件和生活条件，出口创汇，积累了3万多亿美元的国家外汇储备，国家富裕了，所以可以到处投资，补贴，到处援助，但是国民富裕了吗？农民工富裕了吗？恐怕还没有。中国必须改变这种不惜代价鼓励出口、补贴出口的做法。
嗯，
因为这种做法在国际上已经造成了恶劣的影响，造成了发达国家对中国的某种围堵。中国呢，要改变那种强制的结汇的制度，也就是强制的要结清外汇的这种制度。可以像日本那样，常汇于民，将外汇藏于民间，藏于企业手中，像日本国家手中只有1万亿美元左右的外汇储备，但是他在民间在企业还拥有2-3万亿美元，所以日本他总的外汇并不比中国少，但是，他只不过大多数都在这个民间，而中国呢，由于民间几乎没有外汇，都掌握在国家的手中，所以在西方国家呢，看来好像中国特别富裕啊，这个看中国可能都眼红了啊。但是这种外汇集中在政府手中，也必然造成投资和援助方面的巨大的浪费。
嗯
啊，也给外国人错觉，好像中国太富裕了，但是实际上中国根本没有那么。
好的，那么现在我们已经有大量的网评来回应我们两位专家的观点，我给大家选读一些。首先，贾许这位网友说呢，说美国的贸易规则保护战所采取的措施是惩罚性的，是警告性的，它的最终理想状态呢是贸易平衡以及所具有的公平自由，而中共一而再再而三的鼓吹贸易战的这个输赢论，是为了偷换其一味的偷窃和掠夺的本质概念，这是值得国际社会惊醒的。杨凌，我们这位网友说，他说中国想成为世界工厂的希望是不可能成功的，他说以中国的体量，如果达成世界工厂的目标，那就没有别的国家什么事儿了。以中国占全世界1/5的人口，如果彻底完成工业化，别的发展中国家就不用发展了。中国这种走自己的路，让别的国家无路可走的方式，注定走不通一带一路。天安门上太阳落，他说中共建政以后搞土改、公私合营和人民公社为主导的公有制，本质上呢是把全体国民当作中共暴力集团的奴隶。改革开放之后呢，加在国民身上的枷锁稍有松懈，但仍不断通过权力寻租和垄断企业盘剥普罗大众。现在中共向全世界输出这种权力主导的国家资本主义，妄图呢把权力主导的一切模式推广开来，扩大它盘剥的地域和人口的版图，必将遭到民主国家的抵制，中美贸易战的症结就在这里。现在呢，我们有一些听众观众朋友们等在线上，要求加入我们的讨论，我们把他们接进来，听听他们的想法。首先是河北李先生。李先生你好。河北李先生
你好。你好。
嗯，
我想请教咱们嘉宾一个问题啊。
好，
就是说，既然你们认为，就是说，美国认为中国不讲游戏规则，是吧？那你们不和中国做生意不就行了吗？这问题不是非常简单吗？你们要把别人当成傻小子，行吗？
好的，谢谢河北李先生。下一位，黑龙江的张先生，张先生你好。
哎，你好。今天谈的这个中美两国贸易啊，贸易都遵守两国的贸易守则。谁在玩游戏？也许是美国在玩游戏。
嗯，
中国对任何国家都是有很诚恳的贸易之间的来或等值和等值货币来交换。美国不断的就是说愚弄和玩耍一些国家，我只能说这些。谢谢。
好的，下一位，天津王先生。王先生你好。
首先，那个西方的科技比较先进呢，你跟他们那个竞争
你公平，你什么公平不公平，这世界的规则它本就不公平。你那个你这样光着膀子跟人家干，最终的结一打一的干，最终的结果就被人干死了。你必须集中所有的力量与之相抗，还有胜算，这是我们唯一能与之相抗的一点。这就极权主义，这种个人主义不一样。
好，谢谢天津王先生。刚才我们三位这个电话听众或者观众呢，都发表了这个在这个问题上啊，站在中国这方面的立场。我们请两位我们的嘉宾回应一下他们的观点好吗？首先陈教授。
OK， 行。这个问题呢，就是说啊，就是说因为我不发展不啊，就是我的发展阶段还比较低，所以说呢，我要取得胜利的话呢，我就不遵守游戏规则，我就做就像刚才我说的这些事情啊。在短时间里面，就是对那个不发达国家进行一种保护，这个是完全是应该的，也是啊，这个也就是为什么，就像你刚才说的，为什么这个世界一开始对中国这种行为呢是可以容忍的，现在不行了。OK， 可它的原因呢，就是说是一开始中国还发展比较低端，所以说的话需要一些啊贸易保护的那个政策，这是完全可以理解的。但是现在呢，就是中国的体量已经很大了，而且这个经济发展也到了一定程度了，所以的话呢，它就需要进行啊跟大家一样的游戏规则，这是第一。第二的话就是说，就是这个中国一个很普遍的一个观点，就是说是就是我们国家要的就是要这种那个举国体制的方法来跟美国抗衡。但是呢，这个从长期来说对中国的发展是不利的。为什么呢？OK， 你要知道为什么西方的那个就是科技能够发展这么快，恰恰不是因为它的举国体制，是因为它的市场经济。我认为我对中国人是很有信心的。我认为的话，如果说有在一个公平的，就是公平竞争的环境下面，中国企业通过一段时间的努力，肯定能够打败就是美国的竞争者，能够就是助力于世界的市场里面的。
好的，那我再来请这个北京的胡教授，您来综合回应一下我们刚才听众、观众以及网友们的评论和这个问题好吗？
刚才有一位观众说，西方认为不公平，那他就不要跟中国做生意就行了。这个观点是比较荒谬啊。实际上，比如说中美之间的贸易，实际上中国是更加依赖于美国贸易，因为美国贸易占中国的20%，而美国并不依赖中国贸易，因为中国贸易仅占美国贸易的5%，而且中国提供的产品基本上都是可替代的。你中国不提供，但是东南亚那些国家，印度、墨西哥等等都可以提供，而美国向中国提供的产品却大部分很多都是不可替代的，像这个芯片啊等等。也就是说实际上是中国更加需要与美国与发达国家做生意，而不是说美国它死皮赖脸的要跟中国做生意。所以刚才那位观众可能在这些方面不是太了解。
今天时事大家谈讨论呢就到这里结束了啊。时间关系，我们不能一一接听听众观众朋友们的电话以及回答网友提出的所有问题。我们感谢陈朝晖、胡星斗两位教授呢参加我们的节目。时事大家谈是一个自由的论坛，嘉宾、听众、观众发表的都是个人观点，不代表美国之音。明天时事大家谈要关注热点话题，美国国会提案能否阻挡中国政治渗透。好，我是许波，下次节目再会。